MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine if I'm making a telephone call to the past. Let's see now. Hello? Hello, Weather Bureau? Yeah, is this the Weather Bureau in Chicago? Hi. Hey, I'm calling long distance. I'm actually going to be paying a visit there soon, and I wanted to get an idea of what the weather will be. When am I... No, I expect to be arriving, first pitch at 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock. What's the weather going to be like at 1 o'clock? Sunny day. No, which way is the wind going to be blowing? Okay, yeah. Can you tell me, is that where right field is at Wrigley Field? Yeah. Where am I calling from? Well, what difference does that make? Am I in Las Vegas? Why would you ask me that? Oh, sorry. Gotta run. Bye. And that was how we used to have to get the information on the weather. This is the Everything Guide to Sports Betting VSiN podcast.
Welcome to the Everything Guide to Sports Betting podcast. Learn how to be a smarter better from the experts at VSiN, the sports betting network. Now, here are your hosts, Ron Flatter and Josh Applebaum.
Welcome aboard. It is Ron Flatter here and Josh Applebaum there. Yeah, Josh, that really was how people used to try to find out about the weather at places like Wrigley Field. Can you imagine if we had to do that all over again in the 21st century?
Ron, I can't believe it. You guys had it much harder back in the day. Today, I can just go on Twitter. I can check weather websites. I'm a guy who really loves to look at the weather because a lot of casual bettors really overlook the weather. They don't think it really makes a big difference. They kind of ignore it. They kind of are unaware. But really, you know, savvy, sharp sports bettors, they really pay attention to the weather because whether it's windy, hot, cold, humid, the direction of the wind, the strength of the wind, it can have a huge impact on the outcome of a game and make you decide to place a bet or not. And that's what we're going to talk about today, Ron. Weather, along with referees, and looking at ways that we can increase our bankroll by looking at factors that oftentimes get overlooked but are very, very important.
Yeah, I'm glad you said it like I was in a horse and buggy, Josh, and that we were using movable type, but that's fine. You know, when referees, there were only one on the field and they had a horn instead of flags, but that's fine. I appreciate that. I'll park my aluminum walker until we get rolling here. But let's talk about the weather. Now, we can't do anything about it, but we can. I mean, it's the old saying, you can't do anything about the weather, but as a sports bettor, we can take advantage of it. We can use it in a way that maybe we can get an edge that the bookkeepers, that the bookmakers don't have a chance to react to, and then maybe you can do well with your bookkeeper, hopefully with all the money you have coming in. But let's talk about it both for football and baseball and what the impact is, and let's start with the wind, because really, if there's a factor beyond rain, snow, sleet, or gloom of night, it's the wind that has an impact.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Ron. And hey, one of my favorite quotes of all time, may the wind always be at your back and the sun upon your face, and may the wings of destiny carry you aloft to dance with the stars.
Or cash your bet,
either one.
That's lovely. As long as the water getting in your face if you're walking upwind is not warm. Oh, wait a minute. That's a different saying, but go ahead.
You're exactly right, Ron. And yeah, I think, you know, why weather is important is because, you know, as humans, as regular people, we can relate to the weather. We know that the temperature, hot, cold, you know, wind, you know, we've always been, outside trying to walk to your car or going wherever, and the wind can have an effect. It can make you blow something in the wind, lose something, drop something, and it can have the same sort of effect on a football game or a baseball game. So really today, talking about weather, those are the two sports we're going to look at, football and baseball, obviously outdoor sports, and really looking at totals overall, because totals are really where it's at. When you're betting an over or an under, the total amount of points or runs scored by both teams combined, the weather is one variable and factor that can have a big impact. So you mentioned it, Ron, real quick. Ron, let me throw it to you. Why is the wind considered one of the most important factors when it comes to weather and totals in general?
Well, other than maybe losing my hairpiece or my keys, as David Letterman might have said, the wind in this case, certainly in football, it impacts your ability to throw the ball and make sure it goes from point A to point B in a way that you're expecting it to. In baseball, certainly we know a ball that could be a warning track flyout with the wind blowing out could then become a home run. Certainly in basketball and hockey, generally we don't have to worry about that, except maybe in hockey on those occasions when they are playing the outdoor games. But even then, it is such a close to the ground game, it probably has a negligible impact. But really, it's all about baseball. And why don't we go ahead and start with football? And Josh, what have you found in terms of maybe the miles per hour of the wind? And is there a cutoff point where you say, I don't worry about it, and then at a certain point, you start to worry about it?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, Ron, because, you know, especially with new bettors, need to have some hard numbers that you can look at and really, you know, maybe pique your interest when you see above a certain amount of miles per hour. So, you know, just to jump on top of what you said a second ago, another reason why the wind is really important in football is that the windier it is, it really, really helps an under, because like you said, Ron, it's harder to throw the ball. The ball might, you know, sail way above a player's head, a wide receiver's head, come up short, go left, go right. As a result, it's going to be harder to move the chains, get first downs. The kicking game is also very affected here. You know, can see, yeah, kicks go way wide left, way wide right, get knocked down. So missed field goals, missed extra points. The other thing is when the wind is really, really swirling and big crosswinds, what you do usually is you run the ball more because you can't throw it. And when you run the ball, what happens there, Ron? You chew up the clock. And as a result, it's kind of a continuous running clock. The game goes by quicker, and as a result, you know, you're gonna have less points scored overall. So when you're talking about an actual number I look for, Ron, you know, to me, I don't really get interested in a windy under until it gets to about 10 miles an hour or more. So to me, that's kind of a cutoff when anything five or less, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, even, you know, 6, 7 miles an hour, that isn't really gonna cause much of an impact overall. When you get to 10 miles an hour or more, but it's really 20 miles an hour or more, that's kind of almost an auto bet for a lot of sharps. I remember, you know, we were interviewing Kevin Roth of Roto Grinders. He's the meteorologist, sports betting expert, and he agreed with me. He said 20 miles an hour, that is a number that you can really, really pinpoint, circle on your odds sheet or wherever you're making your bet on your app. And if you can get 20 miles an hour or more, ideally sustained winds, you know, not just early in the game, but throughout the game, that's when you can really, really see a huge impact. So wow. 20 miles an hour or more, that's what I look at for a lot of windy unders in college and pro football.
And what about, and speaking of colleges, do you find that the wind impacts the number more so in colleges than maybe in pros?
I think it does, Ron. Yeah, I look at a lot of windy unders. You know, in the NFL, you know, you're looking at a lot of unders between divisional opponents because that familiarity kind of leads to lower scoring games in general. So if you can get wind, a divisional game, you see some sharp action. Typically, the public's almost always going to bet an over because they want to see, you know, they're predisposed to wanting to root for points and high scoring games. So if you get a little sharp action, you see the line fall a little bit, you get a good number. That's always a good sign if you can combine that with wind. But I really like these college windy under opportunities because when you think about college kids, you know, they're inferior. You know, a college quarterback is not as used to the wind or experienced with the wind as a pro quarterback. So even though, yeah, that's kind of what I look at, Ron. Like, you know, young quarterbacks, 18, 19, 20 years old, to me, they're going to make more mistakes, and they're going to be more affected by a windy game than maybe a pro quarterback. So definitely those windy unders, especially, you know, a lot of times in college football, you'll see totals really, really drop. So I remember, you know, in years past, I'd look at Hawaii or Wyoming or, you know, climates where you get really, really windy weather and maybe the kind of just the configuration of the stadium can really impact and allow weather to come in and wind. I've seen totals really, really drop. I remember a Hawaii game, you know, they're used to usually scoring a million points. You know, a total would open at around 65 and get down to 58 because there's going to be 25 mile an hour winds. So this is the important thing, looking for extremes when it comes to weather. And I lean on even college more just because these quarterbacks aren't used to it and they usually run the ball more anyway.
I'll give you an interesting thing when you talk about field position and the field configuration. Most in football are north-south. Press boxes on the west side, and the sun will set, of course, behind the sideline. But places like the L.A. Coliseum or at Texas Tech, east-west fields where the sun will set on one end. Moreover, teams that are used to playing mostly north-south schedules and winds prevailing from a particular direction could be thrown off by a prevailing wind that is going a different direction simply because the field goes a different direction. It was set up that way at Texas Tech, after all, because of a prevailing wind from the west there. So in that respect, you could look at that, and you got to be bearing in mind which way the field is configured, because if you just see a forecast where it says wind out of the south, that doesn't necessarily mean from goal line to goal line. Check and see. Look, go to Google Maps if you have any doubt and see which way that field is laid.
I totally agree, Ron. You know, I'm based in New England, and you know, the Patriots Stadium, we have a side of the of Gillette Stadium where it's kind of the lighthouse, and there's this huge open part where you can see a lot of wind blow through. So I think, Ron, just in terms of a high-level kind of rundown of what you're talking about, these are the things that sharp bettors look at. It's not just enough that they know, okay, wind benefits an under. That's going to give me more of an edge on an under. But it's also that they're literally looking at latitude, longitude of stadiums, of configurations of stadiums and ballparks. And again, this kind of hits on the fact that, you know, if you want to be a successful sports bettor, you've got to keep digging and digging and digging. And it's all out there. It's all just based on how much work are you willing to put in. And when you can really check off a lot of boxes, make the strongest bet you can make, you know, that's when, you know, if you cash it a windy under and you got a good number and you you really kind of diagnosed it from the start, you'll feel good about yourself. But really, that's just kind of the approach of betting overall. The more boxes you can check, you know, T's you can cross, I's you can dot, that's really going to make you a better over the long term.
And in in-game betting, too, you can pay attention to which way a team is going if it has the wind, and you start to think about if they have a kicker, particularly in a place like Denver where the high altitude, you could even say that that kind of comes into the weather picture in a way. But that thin air, and you see, wow, maybe another 64-yard field goal with the wind through the thin air late in a half, that could be influential as well. But also, this applies to baseball. There's thin air, of course, in Denver as well for the Colorado Rockies. But also, there's wind everywhere, especially at least in outdoor stadiums. They're still working on that on the indoor stadiums. But as you look at that, and we mentioned Wrigley Field, and wind blowing in can turn a home run into a warning track shot, and a wind blowing out could put the ball on Waveland Avenue, which, by the way, is north of Wrigley Field. Most baseball fields are configured so that left field is to the north, right field is to the east, And the southpaws are so named because their arm faces south toward the first baseline. But they're not all that way. Go across town in Chicago, and you'll find that the stadium that used to be known as Comiskey by any other name is configured in a completely different way. So let's talk about the wind in Major League Baseball and how you play it, Josh, as you at least go ahead, dissect which way the field is going, and then you determine whether the wind is blowing in or out.
Yeah, so Ron, I think you hit the nail on the head, because when it comes to weather and specifically wind, baseball is really the go-to sport, because just the way kind of the schedule is configured, you know, you have 162 games, you have 15 games a day, you just have more opportunities to take advantage of these weather situations and windy situations. So, you know, I know a buddy I worked with who was almost a strictly a windy totals MLB bettor, and, you know, throughout the course of a six-month-plus season, These games and these opportunities can really, really stack up. Oh. So I think you're already operating from a good, you know, a good situation, a good edge, knowing that baseball, the weather has a big impact, and I have a ton of games to maximize my edge on. So you hit the nail on the head, Ron, you know, basically talking about Wrigley Field and looking at not only the direction of the wind, you know, blowing out benefits and over, blowing in benefits and under. But to me, I also look at, you know, humidity and baseball, you know, early on in baseball, usually it's, you know, it's freezing cold and terrible weather, but kind of once you get into, you know, maybe June and on, that's when you start to see hot days, humid days. And that can also benefit you as well, because, you know, another trend you can look at when we talk about weather, not just wind, is humidity and the heat. And you always look at humidity as basically benefiting some overs, because the air is less dense. That means the ball travels further. So, you know, big fly ball, good trajectory here, could be, again, pushed into the stands, become a home run. Also look at, you know, 90 degrees or more. That's another, and again, today's show, you want to give a lot of easy benchmarks. So 90 degrees or more, that can also benefit some overs, because, again, we've been outside on some hot days, and if you're a pitcher on a mound and the sun's beating down on you, you know, you're sweating and you're sweating all over the ball, you're more prone to making mistakes. That benefits the hitters. And also, you know, the batters, they have the advantage because they're in the dugout. While they're on offense, they got a fan, they got a nice cold pack on their neck, and they're just getting ready to hit, whereas the pitcher is just baking out there. So, again, humidity, hot weather, that's going to be something you want to take into effect when you're thinking about betting overs in baseball.
I'm thinking about something in baseball. Years ago at Old Candlestick Park in San Francisco, the Giants had a heater in their dugout and the visiting team did not. But those days are long gone. Domes are still around. Domes sometimes with the roof open, roof closed. Always check to see before the game begins where the roof will be, whether it will be parked or in full operation. But let's presume now for the moment we're talking about domes that are closed, be they for baseball games or football. And as we're recording this during the coronavirus pandemic, we know that fans in question and the fact that they are not there is a whole nother matter. But during normal times when fans are there, of course, in a dome, they can be that much louder. But beyond that, how do domes influence the numbers, Josh, in terms of both baseball and football?
Yeah, so again, you know, we're looking at extremes when we talk about weather. If the weather is just kind of down the middle, you're not going to see a betting edge that you can take advantage of. But, you know, the opposite of a big weather game is a situation where there's a lack of weather, where there's zero weather. So that's when we look at Major League Baseball, domes, closed roof stadiums. Again, if you're betting on a game, Safeco Field or in Arizona, you always want to know beforehand, double check to see whether or not the roof will be open. That's available on Twitter. A lot of the team, sites will report that as well. But when you're talking about the dome, and I always think about Tropicana Field where the Rays play, that's actually a benefit to an under. You see a lot of historical data that shows that the under hits I think it's about a 3% higher clip in a dome versus an outdoor stadium. And why is that important? Because when you're in a dome, it's perfect conditions for a pitcher. Also, the ball really doesn't travel. It's perfect conditions for fielders as well. You usually get, you know, true hops in an artificial turf, whereas, you know, you're outside, you know, you may get a ball kicked one way or the other way. So perfect conditions for the pitcher, ideal conditions for the fielders. The ball doesn't travel. You add it all up, that really can benefit in under in general. But then, Ron, you also have your NFL domes. You always think about, you know, the Saints, the Superdome, and all these indoor stadiums in general, where you actually see, again, a big edge to an over. So again, it's not just cut and dry where a dome is great under no matter what. In the NFL and football, it's a little bit of an edge to and over because it's a fast track and because it's a slick field. And as a result, you know, the offense has a big advantage because they know where they're going. They can plan and make a move. The defense has to react. So kind of that fast track benefits more points. You usually see, more points in a lot of domes in general. Also kicking, ideal conditions to make a kick. But Ron, one thing we should mention is that, you know, even though these are big edges to try to take advantage of, remember that sportsbooks know this. They're betting and, you know, they're setting these betting lines with all this information in mind. So, you know, the goal is not only to be aware of these things, but to jump on things quick or wait for a number to move to get the best number overall. But don't think that you're the only one who knows this and the books don't, because they know every little thing and more. So a lot of these, whether it's in a dome or not, it's all baked into the cake when the odds makers release the line.
That's a caveat, by the way, for every lesson we give you in this series. So just circling back to make sure we covered all bases, did we get it all in terms of heat and cold and altitude and even, say, shadows?
So one thing to add here, you know, before we move, I love talking about, but looking at hot weather, a great edge in college ball. When you're looking at really, really hot, see it, you know, first month of the season in September, that's when you can really take advantage of it, be a little bit through October, really before it starts. But when you're looking at 85 degrees or hotter in college football games, typically in a lot of, down south, you'll see these really, really temperatures, you know, close degrees. That's a huge advantage to an over because the defense basically is just absolutely gassed out there. They're tired. You know, some people would argue it's much more fun to play offense than defense. So when you're out there on offense, you have a huge advantage. You're running your plays. You know what you're doing. The defense has to react. And the defense is just a step behind, gasping for air. So really, really hot, 85 degrees or more overs in college football have a big advantage. But also, Ron, you know, you wouldn't believe this usually, and I learned this a while ago. I always thought it was the opposite. And this is why it's important to really check data to make sure that you're not falling, you know, under a kind of fake conventional wisdom, but cold overs in the NFL. You know, you always think in the NFL, when it's really, really cold out, it must be a low scoring game because the players on the field, you know, their hands are frozen. It's hard to throw and catch the ball. You can't really, you know, run. You're so cold. You just want to get off the field and go on the hot sidelines with the heater. But actually, you know, a lot of public bettors overrate that and overvalue that. And you actually see cold overs when it's 30 degrees or less perform at a pretty good rate to the over in general. So again, temperature can have an effect, not always in the way that you think, but really the key here when we're talking about weather in general is wind. Always look at big wind as really the one factor you want to lean on the most.
Shadows,
yeah, big shadows. Our buddy Patrick Maher, Ron, at VSiN, he always reminded me that, you know, he likes to go to the LA Dodgers games. And, you know, when you have a 4 o'clock game, early afternoon game, that can be a big advantage to an under because the pitcher is, the shadows are, makes it harder for the hitter to pick up the ball, gives a big advantage to the pitcher. You know, if Clayton Kershaw, he doesn't need a bigger advantage, but, you know, if a matinee game and, you know, a late afternoon game, you know, that's where you can really take advantage of shadows, you know, hurting offensive players, helping pitchers. And that's why you can look at maybe a first five under. And remember, you know, the weather isn't always consistent. Maybe it's, you know, swirling winds 20 degrees for maybe projected the first hour of the game, but then it dies down. So again, you know, isolate maybe just a first half bet, not a full game bet. But again, all these things are factors you should weigh and always check to make sure you're getting it right. And always also, Ron, I live in New England. Make sure you don't bet weather opportunities too early because on a Monday, we could be predicting, you know, a huge snowstorm and wind and rain in Boston. And then by the time you get to kickoff on game day, you know, the weather's died down. It'll be a perfect day. So,
well, wait a minute. Yeah. Wait a minute. You're telling me the forecast is wrong in the East? I find that shocking.
Sometimes, Ron, you wouldn't believe it, but sometimes
I'm
are wrong.
I'm stunned.
So, yeah.
Yeah. On that same token, though, by the way, use multiple weather sources. Weather.com is popular and user-friendly, but often wrong. Weather.gov, not as user-friendly, but maybe more often right. AccuWeather, maybe splits the difference. Kevin Roth, the sports betting meteorologist at RotoGrinders.com, another place to go. but moreover, pay attention and maybe look at local sources on social media to see what the weather is because, yeah, Josh, you're right. The weather, it is a changing. When we come back, the referees. Oh, yeah, you talk about blowing like the wind. Straight lines for 1200, Alex, as we continue on the Everything Guide to Sports Betting podcast from VSiN.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, the referees and the umpires, they're supposed to be neutral. Okay, maybe they go in there and have every intention of being so, but of course, if you are an aggrieved fan, you think they weren't, and if you're a successful fan, you think they called a great game. Somewhere in between all that lies the truth, and for bettors, that's another important tool. And yes, you can bet trends based on referees and umpires, Josh.
Yeah, refs, umpires, Ron, you know, I look at it as this is kind of a cherry on top. I don't think you ever want to bet a game specifically because of a ref or an umpire, but you want to make sure that it's one of the criteria, one of the boxes you're trying to check off when you're trying to place a bet. Because I think it can have a marginal effect, but I don't think on itself, like, you know, we talked about, you know, 20-mile-per-hour, 25-mile-per-hour wins. That's enough to just bet an under almost blindly. But just because, you know, a referee tends one way or another, I don't think that's the only reason. It's when you can layer on situations where, okay, like I like this road dog for reasons A, B, C, and D. You know, it's a divisional matchup. You have sharp line movement. I've handicapped the game where I'm getting a good number. Plus, I happen to have a road referee. Boom. That's the sort of thing you want to look at. But if we can just take a step back, Ron, you know, we always got to remember refs are humans. They're humans at the end of the day. And I know. I almost, you know, Ron, it'll be funny if we switch to robots in the future, because then you might lose an edge here on referees with robot umpires. But they do have tendencies and they're human. And as a result, you know, they're going to have some edges overall one way or another. You know, you really hope and think, and I think a lot of refs are pretty down the middle. Again, you have some egregious calls that make them look bad, but I think they do try to call games right. And you never want to get into a fact of, you know, although Tim Donaghy gave some refs some bad names, you don't want to get into the rabbit hole of their throwing games. And then it's like, why are you even betting if you kind of take that approach? But again, they have some tendencies where they might favor a home team because they don't want to get the home crowd screaming at them. And they want to make sure that, they're not getting bottles thrown at them like in Philadelphia. Maybe they lean road teams because they want to appear impartial. And again, they can be influenced by the crowd. I look at the NFL a lot, Ron, referees who call a lot of penalties, throw a lot of flags, referees that let them play. So if you're looking historically, a guy like Tony Correnti historically is a pretty good under guy. You see the under cash upwards of almost a 60% clip here to the under, whereas Jerome Boger is almost 60% to the over. So you see these little tendencies where, again, I don't think they're the only reason you bet a game, but you want to be aware of these coming into it because it's only going to make you more confident in a bet if you can layer on another piece of criteria that lines up in the direction that you're betting anyway.
By the way, in case you aren't aware of the name Tim Donaghy, he was the NBA referee who was found to have been working with bookies and had been indicted in terms of a gambling scandal that still resonates around the NBA in some ways, but he was certainly one who indeed wrote a book about his experiences, and he became a poster child for all that might be wrong with refereeing. Another guy whose name comes up, as you had mentioned, football, is a guy in baseball, and you can't get through any kind of a refereeing or umpiring discussion without bringing up Cowboy Joe West. And so he's a name I know that galvanizes bettors, because when you see it, you think one particular way. And by the way, not just bettors, right? Baseball fans in general. So what about a guy like Joe West, and what about umpires in baseball?
Yeah, so baseball umpires can influence, I think, in kind of two big ways. Number one, when they're the home plate ump, and just a little tip here, look for the home plate ump. What you can do is, they'll be posted on MLB.com. But if you just look at any box score, whoever is the first base ump today will be the home plate ump tomorrow. So you can always get a leg up, and that's just a tip to always remember. However, umps, again, they can really affect a total because when they're behind the plate, their strike zone. Some guys have big strike zones, which as a result, more balls are in play. More strikeouts, basically that benefits an under. You also hear about umpires who will squeeze a pitcher. They will have a super tight strike zone. It leads to more walks. It leads to more base runners. It leads to more runs. So that can have an effect as well. But Ron, I'm glad you brought up Joe West because he's a throwback. He is kind of either you love him or hate him, or just he's just a character, and you love it when he'll throw someone out and make a scene. He's just kind of an old school guy, old school baseball umpire. But Ron, looking at historically Joe West, according to BetLab Sports historical database, this little nugget here, when Joe West is the home plate umpire, underdogs win at a 47% clip since 2003. Now, without any context, 47%, what does that mean? You got to remember that all underdogs in baseball win at roughly a 42.5% clip, 43%. So what that's telling you is when Joe West is behind the plate, underdogs win at roughly a 3% or 4% higher clip than when any other umpire is behind the plate. So that's this little thing where, again, looking at extremes, if you have a marginal edge one way or another, you're not going to really think about it too much. But Joe West, big to the underdog. And why? Maybe he just wants to appear impartial, so he goes overboard toward the underdog. Maybe he's a guy who roots for underdogs. But that's the sort of thing you want to look at because that can really, really have an impact. And again, the key in baseball is when you're betting underdogs, you're getting plus money. And when you're laying favorite, numbers, you have to win at a high rate, in the high 50% or more, 55%. But when you're betting underdogs, you're getting plus money. You could win sub 50 and still turn a profit with the plus money payout. So if you're on a dog anyway and you see Joe West behind the plate, that's only a good thing for you.
One other note, by the way, when you're checking box scores to see who will be tomorrow's home plate umpire, bear in mind that that is within a given series because they will change up as teams travel around. So too do umpires. And so too do NBA referees. We mentioned Donaghy. And certainly if you're listening in Sacramento, I know you're probably spitting the bit just thinking about what could have been in the C-Web days against the Lakers way back when. But speaking of the NBA, is there a particular referee that you look at who does certainly skew the numbers in a particular way?
Yeah, you hit it, Ron. Scott Foster, an infamous name in the NBA, rumored to have, I believe, Ron, he made some phone calls with Donaghy. They were short phone calls. David Stern, rest in peace. He said nothing was going on there. I don't know. But Scott Foster, big historically to the road team. Road teams since 2003, 54% against the spread covering the number when Scott Foster is refereeing. And also another tip, Ron, you know, we mentioned it, for other sports, but when usually you go to NBA.com in the morning, they'll release the referee assignments. So you'll see who the refs are that night. But again, refereeing can have an impact. A guy also, you know, who will basically lean a little bit maybe to an over or an under, especially overs when you get into fouls and free throw shooting late, that can definitely benefit an over bet. But the NBA, especially in the playoffs, that's when you see refereeing really, really make a big impact overall. But yeah, Scott Foster, think of him as a road guy, Joe West, the big dog guy. These are the tendencies you want to try to exploit. And it's always important to do your homework, look where they lean one way or another. And just remember, this is a cherry on top, not the only reason you bet a game, but a good thing to have in your back pocket when you're placing your bet.
And let's not forget, too, hockey has the opportunity as well to try to figure out how you could bet accordingly, check referees' assignments there. But it's a little more difficult in hockey nowadays, especially over recent decades since they went to two referees on the ice with two linesmen, not just the single referee that was in vogue up until the early part of the 21st century.
Yeah, great point, Ron. And again, that would be in terms of, you know, looking at penalties. Are they ticky-tack calls? I'm a Boston Bruins fan. I always hate when the Bruins go up to Montreal, and it seems like the refs always get the Bruins on a ton of calls. And then what happens there? Team goes on the power play, easier to score. Could benefit an over. Could benefit the team with the better power play or not a lot of calls, you know, the benefit of a good penalty kill in general. So, yeah, whatever the sport is, no matter what it is, referees, they're important. And kind of, you know, if you're going to take one thing away from today's episode, it's that, you know, these are factors you want to consider. Referees, the weather, you want to do your handicapping, you want to do your research, you want to look at line movement, you want to try to identify an edge, but don't ever overlook these factors because, you know, the more you know going into a bet, it's only going to make your bet stronger and hopefully increase your chances of winning.
I love it. That's always how we want to leave it when we wrap up a lesson plan here. So hopefully we've taught you something about the weather. We've taught you something about the officials in the game. And hopefully maybe, you know, you have a sunny day with the officials and maybe a fair day with the weather, or maybe even in reverse. You never know how it can work out with the referees, the umpires, and the weather. So with that in mind, we bid you adieu until another lesson. And, I'm going to go see if I need my umbrella. In the meantime, thank you, Josh. Ron Flatter here. And you have been enjoying, I hope, the Everything Guide to Sports Betting on VSiN.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.